program. And the most important part to realize is it brings down your effective payment rate, not a real interest rate, but brings it down effectively to 2% or 31% of your gross household income. You're really not going to get a better deal than that. And that's for 5 years. And then after the 5 years, it brings you back up slowly by the equivalent of 1% a year afterwards. So you're actually modified really like at least 8-9 years depending upon your interest rate. And they're supposed to put you into a going rate afterwards. Let's say you're right now at 6.5% because you got it years ago. Well, the going rate is somewhere around 4 to 4.5. They're supposed to put you into that 4-4.5% range for the balance of your term afterwards. And really, that's such little money compared to, you know, when you add it all up. The average family that we've helped, we've helped over 350 families, has saved about $1,000 a month for the first 5 years. And then obviously when you're tapering it down a little bit, so instead of $1,000 a month, it would be maybe like $850 for the year six, and then say $700 for the year seven, et cetera, you know, dollars-wise. And when you add it all up, we're talking overall savings of about $70,000 to $100,000 or more. So think about it from the lender's perspective of what they're losing.
Yeah, $70,000 to $100,000 more. Hold on, Vivian. We have to take a commercial break, if you would, and we'll pick it up where we left off. And if anybody wishes to join with, if you've got some questions about your mortgage and if you need to modify it and you're having problem, well, she's going to help us out. 303-713-8585, the number. It's 15 minutes now after 4 o'clock. You're listening to News Radio 850 KOA.
Be merry and bright, and may all your...
Where the treetops glisten, and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Sounds like Bing. They call him a crooner for a reason. Anyway, 303-713-8585, the number, and we'll rejoin our guest momentarily. Right now, a quick look outside weather-wise. Of course, we'll have the update on the weather at the bottom. 43 degrees going on out there right now. And through 10 o'clock, mostly clear. Temps rising to the low mid-50s, and we'll hit 62, 63 degrees by afternoon, and it'll be mostly clear. Tomorrow, a little cooler, temps in the mid-upper 50s, but otherwise today's going to be a nice warm day, just like yesterday was, if you remember. Meanwhile, back again with Vivian Gaspar talking about how mortgage lenders, who after all, their relationship are not on your side, even though there is an insurance company that has a song that says they're on your side. Are you there?
Yes.
Ah,
hi,
good.
How are you?
Yeah, so it seems that we do have to understand that, after all, we're taking their money. We get that. They're guaranteeing a loan, or at least they're lending the money to do the loan. And the guarantors, generally, who are the guarantors these days?
Well, right now, you also the really important component is that the person, you know, the company that you signed to borrow money from might not be the one who actually owns the loan.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't tell you is how, and we'll realize this after a while of being adults, that our mortgage companies have the ability and the right to bundle off and sell our loans to any other company they want to.
Which explains the failure of all the banks.
That's what they're allowed to do. And guess what? It might still say that Wells Fargo is who you send your mortgage payments to, but you know what? They might just end up being the servicer and not the owner of the loan. And what stinks about that is if it was on the back end and you never realized it, sold ownership to a foreign investor, you might not have the legal ability to modify if you don't know who the true owner of your mortgage is any longer. That's the part that's really terrible, is if you don't realize what's really going on with who owns your mortgage. And that's the first thing you need to do if you even want to think about modifying, is call up and ask the simple question, who still owns my mortgage?
Will they tell you?
Oh, yes, they will tell you. But imagine that you even have to make that kind of a phone call. Nobody tells you stuff like this, and that's the real shame. All kinds of things are in the news, but what they don't tell you is the most important and obvious things. They're not telling you, for example, that the government modification programs are expiring December 2012. They're not telling you that the full time it takes to modify a mortgage, when you take into account the trial period that you must complete, is about 8 months to a year, the whole process, and it's expiring in about 13 months. And then you'll be stuck with, this is why people are being complacent, oh, I'll wait to apply, it won't take so long, or, you know, the government programs, it'll be around for a while. Why isn't it in the news that it's expiring in 13 months? These are things that are really being overshadowed by, you know, other things, the headlines for politics or, you know, the election time or who knows what, scandals, things that aren't nearly as important as keeping American homes intact.
Well, and, of course, they'll probably tell you that's not their job.
Well, this is why you have to take the onus on you and do the research.
Mm. And let's go to the telephone in Fort Collins. Janet, you're on with Vivian Gaspar. Good morning.
Hello. My question was, I did have to claim bankruptcy. I had to do but I did a Chapter 13, and I didn't include the mortgage per se. I know it still kind of gets included, but I'm still having problems making my first and second mortgage, and I pay Bank of America, and they've said, well, if you do a release, we can look at doing, you know, through your lawyer, we can look at doing a modification, and I just didn't know if that was a good idea.
Well, yes, you definitely should see to modify your mortgage when you have a bankruptcy, and either Chapter 13 or 7. And so you should be able to keep your house and still modify the payments. And the best thing is what you could seek to do with the second mortgage, depending upon how much equity you have in your house, is include, if you can, you might want to look into this with your lawyers, but see if you can have your second mortgage get into the Chapter 13 because, again, depending upon how much equity you have and what your lawyer does.
Yeah, and mine's already, the bankruptcy is already done, but it wasn't, I had too much equity, so I wasn't able to include it. You know what I mean? I forget what they call that, absolve it or something like that.
Right, but what you can still do and what people don't realize in regards to second mortgages, A, they will possibly settle 10, 20, 30 cents of the dollar. And B, if you can't do that, you know, you can modify second mortgages too, completely separate than the government programs, because the HAMP program or the government programs that have available have nothing to do with second mortgages. That's a plain old negotiation. So let's say your payment on that is $500 a month. Tell them you really need to take it down, and maybe they'll bring it down to $200 a month. So understand that that's a separate process when you're talking about a second mortgage or equity line of credit than the first mortgage. You do not bundle them together for modification programs. All they care about is your first mortgage when it comes to the government program. The second one's a plain old flat-out negotiation. The attorney I'm partners with, who we do this together with, he modifies them completely separately and differently. And that's why it's important to understand the different factors. But, yeah, you should definitely look to see about having that payment lowered separately.
Okay, so I should... because I've already got the letters that it's okay to talk to them. I just haven't sent it. You know, I haven't sent it to them to say, yeah, I can talk to you. I just wanted to make sure it was a good idea first.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, great. I'll look
good luck. Happy holidays.
Thanks.
All right, Janet. Thanks so much. A lot of people are wondering about trying to get the banks to. There are different choices. One is that a flat out foreclosure. What about a quit claim deed?
Only do these measures if it's absolutely possible in
regards
to that situation. But understand that coming up, if you want to look at a short sale instead of having any type of a foreclosure, now obviously a quit claim deed is a type of a sale, and then you have deed in lieu of foreclosure. These are things you definitely need to speak to an attorney about and how it impacts you for several years to come, because it will.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something you don't want to fool around with, because it's not just, oh, it's just, you know, a house and a piece of real estate. It's how it can affect it follows your name around. For example, in January of 2012, in a month and change coming up, guess what? The problem is with short sales, the mortgage companies will now be allowed to enforce. That's right, enforce. They've always been allowed to do it, but they're going to start enforcing it on a larger scale to 1099 you as if you earned the income for the forgiven amount for a short sale. Think about that very carefully. Being taxed as the seller on a short sale, and the reason you're most likely selling that house is because you couldn't afford the payment.
Right.
So now they're opening up the floodgates for you to be taxed on that dollar amount that they forgave. What if it's $50,000, $100,000, $150,000? Some people are upside down by tremendous amounts, and the only way to get rid of the house is to short sale it. And now imagine being taxed on it, so now you'd have to owe the IRS as if you earned that money, and that's what's going to happen very soon. So that's why it's so critical for you to make sure you understand that what's going to happen both legally and tax-wise. So you need to speak to both now a lawyer and an accountant. And sometimes it doesn't hurt to get a second and third opinion, because this is so critical, because the IRS could definitely very well get involved in your real estate situation.
Well, it's not bad enough that they have to deal with the problem of losing their property. Then they have to deal with the IRS on their neck.
Unfortunately, that's what the lobbyists have gotten us.
Which lobbyists are these?
The one for the mortgage companies.
Of course. You know, it's so good to know that they can get what they want and we get screwed. How nice.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunately what politics has yielded. So when you put your head in the sand, but politically, this is where it ends up landing us, unfortunately.
Best government money can buy. Hold on, Vivian. We're going to have to do a news break. Stay right there. 303-713-8585, the number. If you've got questions about your mortgage, your loan, foreclosure, quick claim, quick sale, well, now's the time. Go ahead and give us a call, 303-713-8585.
Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom.
Jose Feliciano. All right. Feliz Navidad. You live down in Santa Fe, by the way. They do it in the most charming way. And by the way, it doesn't take long before you know how to say Navidad. It ain't Navidad. Yeah. Well, we know what luminarias are. It's called farolitos. So, if you've ever been down in Santa Fe, you'll know what I mean. Back again with Vivian Gaspar. Let's go to Aurora and Bill. Bill, you're on with Vivian Gaspar. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, hope you're having a super day.
So far?
I got a question here about, I did a short sale in March, Vivian, and I need to know what form I should get a hold of to file with the government for taxes.
Well, that's best. Something I definitely recommend that you speak to your CPA about,
uh-huh.
Your accountant.
Okay.
Only because, obviously, you know, that's not my forte in regards to accounting and the tax areas of it. But, it, you know, I wanted to bring that to people's attention that that might be necessary, it might not be. It depends upon what your lender has agreed to as part of the short sale agreement. And that's why each short sale agreement might be different. You have to really analyze the deal that you were struck when the short sale was approved.
Oh,
and that's
I
what I wanted to bring to people's attention. You might not have to, and you might do have to. It just depends upon the deal that was struck.
Okay.
But if it wasn't brought to your attention, you might not know to do it or even to look for it.
Well, they said they didn't think I would have to, you know, consider paying tax on that, but that's not good enough for me. I've got to find out exactly what it is. So I'll call my accountant.
Well, also the attorney. Who is it that struck the deal with you or for you with your mortgage company? And they should really go through that the agreement for the short sale very carefully. And that will just spell out you might be okay and you not have to worry about it. But I bring it to people's attention because it's something they never even thought would be a possibility before.
What's the deadline on that? The sale went down in March of this year.
Oh, it's a tax year thing. So, you know, you don't have to worry about it until tax time. You know, it goes for the calendar year.
Okay.
But it's, again, something you have to be aware of, because if, you know, the problem is I bring to people's attention what might they might not have otherwise known, and if it's not part of your agreement, because it will specify, you're fine. But, you know, you have to at least know to look for it to analyze it and to take accountership for it, because I don't want people thinking, oh, that's not going to happen to me, and next thing you know, you're going to get, you know, whacked, because you know how the IRS works. If you don't bring it out to their attention and they have to figure it out, there's going to be really stiff penalties and interest upon what you didn't even realize you owed.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I'll take care of it today.
Very good.
Thanks, Vivian. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you. Take care.
All right, Bill. Thanks.
I know.
And, yeah, a lot of people probably don't know about this, do they?
No, and that's what the alarming thing is. That's why I really appreciate allowing me to speak to everyone, is to bring these things to people's attention. You know, they don't know what the regulations are. They don't need to even look. So it's important to even be made aware and to know who to ask and to know what experts to go to, because I'm sure we've all had conversations with even our CPAs, and if you didn't bring something to their attention, like, oh, I didn't realize that. Well, that's all different now.
Well,
that's the
yeah.
same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, one of the most heinous things that I've ever seen a mortgage company do, ready for this? One of the big six, obviously I can't name which one, but it's one of Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, one of those,
uh-huh.
has told their client, who was a few months in arrears, I think it was like 6 or 8 months in arrears at the time we met, oh, why don't you just liquidate your 401k and pay off your debt and get back on track that way? And they said it's like it's no big deal. And I want people to really understand what a big deal that is. If you liquidate, not borrow, if you borrow, that's fine. There's parameters against the loan from your 401k. But if you borrow from a retirement account, you're okay. But if you liquidate it, that means take it out and never put back, the IRS will tax you on that as if you earned it. And most people's 401k, if they're in their 40s and 50s, like this family, this couple was, they liquidated $100,000 and they earned $50,000 for the year. They're going to be taxed as if they earned $150,000. I want people to be aware of what that really means. They're going to owe the IRS $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, depending on what write-offs they can come up with. How fast do you pay that off for the average family? And that's in addition to obviously losing their, you know, their savings for their retirement when they're not ready for it. But it goes way beyond that. You have to understand what the ramifications of the IRS are when there's penalties and interest that get multiplied and added on. Each year you can't pay off that balance. And it's going to take many years to pay that off. So people need to be aware before they just take someone's advice coming from the company that just wants your money.
Boy, I talk about a double whammy. That really is a double whammy. And if you can't afford to pay that, what does one do then?
If you can't pay the IRS, that's the bigger thing to worry about than losing your home. Because why? You can always rent if you really have to.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't pay the IRS, it's now a tax lien on your name. Forget going to jail because, you know, the reality is if you're responsible and you do something about it and not just put your head in the sand, they're not going to send you to jail. The reality is, though, that you're going to have a lien against your name. You can't do anything unless you release that. It's going to stand there for years, and it could take, depending upon how much you owe, at least 5 to 10 years to get rid of it, depending upon how big it is. But in that family's case, I sat in their homes. They're clients now. We're helping them, luckily. But if they had never met me, talked to me, I can't imagine what would happen. So on top of losing their house, that would have happened if they didn't meet me, they're also now into debt with the IRS for at least the next 5 to 10 years because they owe $30,000 to $50,000. And with penalties and interest, that will eventually double. I know because I've helped people in debt to the IRS. That's the bigger whammy is the IRS in that situation.
Yeah.
That's why, if you think about it, tell me how unconscionable that is for your huge mortgage company, one of the big six, to have one of their employees sanctioned to tell people to do that. That's heinous.
Yeah, and yet these lenders don't tell anybody that at all, do they?
It's unbelievable what they're doing, and this is why I put the book together, and I wanted to bring out to people's attention what they need to be made aware of before it could literally ruin your life.
Well, that would ruin it, all right. I'm amazed that that these companies are not compelled to give all this information. I thought that information was the one thing they had to give.
Unfortunately, they sometimes present it in such a confusing manner that it's as if they weren't even giving it at all. Go to, for example, the government's website for makinghomeaffordable.gov, and the guidelines are so confusing. I've had people tell me who have been trying to modify for a year with, doesn't matter who, it could have been Bank of America or Wells Fargo, it doesn't matter, it's pretty much the same thing. And in the 15 minutes it takes me to speak to them over the phone to qualify them, and I basically just tell them by asking a few questions, do they qualify for modification, and if they do, what can they expect as an outcome? And every single one of them tells me that in the year or 6 months or 10 months that they've been trying it to do this themselves, and they've been fighting with their lender, spending countless hours on the phone, that never once has that lender told them in a year or the 6 months or the 8 months what I told them in 10 minutes. They don't speak to their clients and the American public in easy, simple language, which is what people need.
Do they do that on purpose?
Of course, because they're gambling and they're assuring themselves that this homeowner will do whatever it takes, beg, borrow, steal, and unfortunately it's stealing from themselves when it comes to people. Unfortunately, the reason I mentioned the 401k and the retirement assets is it's an alarming rate at which people are clearing the money out. And it's too many people that are hurting themselves because, again, it goes back to you take your money out permanently, and the IRS will be the ones you need to fear more than losing your home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's becoming an epidemic as to the rate of which people are doing this. Why? Because they're trusting the person who makes $8, $10, $12 an hour at their lender to tell them what how to lead their life, which will get them into trouble for many years to come if they listen to that person.
We're going to take a break. Well, hold on a second. We have to do one more of those famous commercial breaks and see if we can get at least a list of at least three things people need to know right up front. So stay right there if you would, Vivian. 303-713-8585. The number is 447. We continue. Vivian Gaspar, if you didn't know all this stuff, boy, you better find out. We'll show you how you can get a hold of her material momentarily. You're listening to News Radio 850 KOA.
This Hollywood Hotel, you'd never know that it was Christmas Eve. The billboards and the neon took the place of silver bells.
Oh.
Well, we have to take it up to the top. And, by the way, is there a website? We'll have a link on my website to you, but do you have a website, Vivian, that you can go to get more information?
Yes. The website for my book is www.stopmycrisis.com. That's stopmycrisis.com.
All right. We'll have a link on my website to yours directly so they can get there easily if they want to go that way. Vivian, thank you so much. It's been interesting stuff, to be sure. And I know a lot of people are suddenly saying, I didn't know any of this. So anyway, thanks so much for giving us the info.
Thank you very much. And